كانوا قليلا من الليل ما يهجعون وبالأسحار هم يستغفرون.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد سيد الأولين والآخرين وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Welcome to our MashaAllah journey through the book Al-Alam Al-Hayyab fi Sharh Al-Kalim Al-Tayyib. This really cool explanation written by Imam Badruddin Al-Aini of the book of prophetic supplications collected by Imam Ibn Taymiyyah. What's in front of you, I want to be able to frame this class for you, is around 250 hadith. Some of them are going to be somewhat repetitive. They may say the same things that are going to teach you and I the different supplications that we say for different moments in our life. Success, anxiety, sickness, health, rags to riches, istikhara, all those things. And then we're going to add to those narrations, explanations of the language, how to do them. And then additionally, as we grow here at Swiss, we're going to add separate videos that teach you how to say each of these supplications, insha'Allah ta'ala. And we know that the Quran says, أَلَا بِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ تَطْمَئِنَّ الْقُلُوبِ, right? That hearts find tranquility in the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's why every situation in the Quran you find dhikr. Even in divorce, subhanAllah, you find dhikr. إِذَا لَقِيتُمْ فِيَةً فَثْبُوتُوا وَذْكُرُوا اللَّهِ. Even on the battlefield, like if you meet your enemy, stay strong and remember Allah. So the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is something which is really comprehensive and provides for us avenues to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in any given situation. Now, we reached the 15th hadith, and I know there's some issues with the numbering, and that's because oftentimes prints are different. Arabic prints, and then you get into the translation and it becomes really a mess, sometimes have different numbering. So don't let that freak you out. All right, this is the 15th hadith, and it's related by Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud accepted Islam very young in Mecca. He saw the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and Abu Bakr eating differently. He noticed that they were eating differently. They were eating with the right hand. They said Bismillah, and he noticed this. So he asked them about it in the hills of Mecca, like, why do you eat like that? And instead of feeling insecure when being questioned and examined by the youth, we see that these two middle-aged men understood how to harness the ingenuity and curiosity of young people. Sometimes people in leadership, when young people ask them questions, if they're older, they see it as a challenge. Sometimes as parents, right? We feel like, oh, our kids are asking us questions. This is a sign of disrespect. Look at Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the best of creation. If anyone had the right to feel inhibited or presumptuous, it would be the best of creation, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But instead he said, anta ghulamu mu'allim, you are a very intelligent young man. So he builds on the confidence of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, and Abdullah ibn Mas'ud accepts Islam and becomes one of the Sahaba who witnessed Badr, witnessed almost all of the battles of the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he used to carry hamal na'li rasulillah. He used to carry the sandals of the Messenger, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he used to bring them to him and put them on the feet of the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And you know, he was also one of the most knowledgeable of the Quran. In fact, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Idhnuka alayya and turfa'u al-hijab." You know, Abdullah ibn Mas'ud had such a relationship with the Messenger of Allah that the Prophet said, if you see, you know, the curtain drawn in front of my home, like the door, what we would consider like a door now open, you're free to enter. And Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu used to listen to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam review the Quran with Sayyidina Jibreel alayhi salam. So we also learn something if we're younger, right? And that is the importance of service when we're young. Like nowadays people, they're young and they want to be like successful. Success has different meanings, right? But one of the key components of success is service. So we see Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, who becomes the most knowledgeable of the Quran, according to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. he achieves success through service. So there's this ability to manage beautifully. We see sometimes this ageism in the community and these generational struggles. Here we see the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and with him Abu Bakr encourage the zeal of a young person. And then we see Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu able to channel his zeal into initially being someone of service. And through his service, he becomes, you know what I mean, Abdullah ibn Mas'ud. I remember working in the universities now for almost 8 years or so. One of the most important questions is, what kind of service have you done when you're filling out your college applications? I want to know, what kind of nonprofit work have you done? How have you volunteered in your community? And we mean meaningful volunteerism, to the point that sometimes we will even probe people and ask them, like, what do you mean by you volunteer? That's something that we look for. So service is very important. So whether you're in MSA with your parents, with people around you, your spouse, your kids, look at Sayyidina Musa, inni nastu nara, right? He becomes a prophet initially by trying to serve his family. So he goes for physical fire, he comes back, mashallah, with prophetic fire. So service. And then for us old folks, we should not always feel threatened by the ingenuity and brilliance of young people, but instead we should be secure and then we should encourage them. So here the Prophet ﷺ, we learn something beautiful from Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala anhu. He died around 32, 33 after Hijri. Sayyidina Uthman ibn Affan, he preyed upon him, the strong opinion. Even though he spent the majority of his time in Kufa toward the end of his life, he was buried in Al-Baqi' in Medina, as was his wish. And Sayyidina Uthman ibn Affan, salla alayhi al-janazah, led the prayer for him. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud says, قَالَ النَّبِيُّ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهُ وَسَلَّمُ The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said, لَقِيتُ إِبْرَهِيمَ لَيْلَةَ أُسْرِيَ بِهِ Prophet ﷺ says, I met Ibrahim on the night that I was taken on Isra. The word Isra is from Asra, Yusri, Isra, Isra. And Isra means to travel at night, specifically to travel at night. The form Asra implies that something caused something else to travel. So, Subhanalladhi Asra bi'abdihi. You know, glorified is the one who took his servant to travel at night. Asra bi'abdihi, meaning the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We learn something also from this verse in Surah Isra, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Imam al-Qurtubi said, this was the height of his professional career, and Allah calls him abdi, calls him his servant. Doesn't call bi-habibihi, bi-rasulihi, he says with my servant, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So the way to reach true success is through the servitude and devotion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Also, we learn something else from this hadith, which is beautiful, is that souls, and we're going to talk about this when we do our series on the hereafter. We have a special series we're working on just that goes over all the stuff you need to know about the hereafter. Just like we have one on qada and qadr, fate. That souls can be in the afterlife in more than one place. So the Prophet ﷺ, he met Sayyidina Ibrahim there, but at the same time, we know Sayyidina Ibrahim is with the children who died in Jannah. We know that the Prophet met Sayyidina Ibrahim in Masjid al-Aqsa. So there is this strong opinion that souls can be in different realms. It's pretty cool, right? In the hereafter. So he says, Laqitu, I met Ibrahim. Also, we learn something here in the etiquettes of the student of knowledge or any type of success. It's okay to mention a great accomplishment if there's benefit for people. Because imagine Sayyidina Muhammad is saying, Laqitu Ibrahim laylata usriya bi. You know, I met Ibrahim on the night I was taken on Isra. The night that Allah took me on Isra. In Arabic, it's in the passive tense. Here we learn something that it's okay to mention success, especially if we're going to wa'amma bi ni'mati rabbika fahaddith. If we're going to note that success is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or that we were not the sole cause of it. So see how the Prophet's wording is, Laqitu Ibrahima laylata usriya bi. So he actually mentions a number of things. Number one, he's a prophet. Number two, he met Sayyidina Ibrahim. And number three, Isra and Mi'raj. And that's why we believe in most introductory books of Aqidah, as you'll see in Essentials of Islamic Faith, in the second book, Aqidat al-Awam, there is a special section on Isra, because it's considered the night journey of the Prophet, one of the greatest miracles of the Prophet. Laylata usriya bi, faqala ya Muhammad. And then Sayyidina Ibrahim, he said to the Prophet, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, aqri ummataka minni salam. Please relay salam to your community. Can you imagine? Allahu Akbar, Sayyidina Ibrahim sent salams to us. And he requested our beloved messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, aqri ummataka minni salam. Give your ummah salams from me. Like, can you imagine? Like, you belong to a community that prophets, they send salams to you.
Allahu alayhi wa sallam,
aqri ummataka minni salam. For this reason, right, that Prophet Ibrahim sent us salams, now you understand something. What do you say in your tahiyyah? What do you say in the tahiyyah? You say, attahiyyatu lillahi wa salawatu wa tayyibat, assalamu alayka ayyuhal nabiyyu wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, assalamu alayna wa alay ibadillahi salihin. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala ahli Muhammad kama sallayta ala Ibrahim wa ala ahli Ibrahim. We respond to the salam of Sayyidina Ibrahim because he sent us salams. So that's why, subhanAllah, we mention him in the tashahud. Allahu Akbar. Learn something else, the importance of gratitude, being grateful, appreciating people's efforts. Allahu Akbar, such a cool hadith, man. So he said, لَقِيتُ إِبْرَاهِيمَ لَيْلَةَ أُسْرِيَ بِي. I met Sayyidina Ibrahim on the night of Isra and Mi'raj. فَقَالَ يَا مُحَمَّدٌ. And he said, O Muhammad, أَقْرِ أُمَّتَكَ مِنِّي سَلَامٌ. Give salams to your community from me. وَأَخْبِرْهُمْ. And inform them. And as we'll talk about in another one of our books in Aqidah, An-Nasafiyya, when he says all of the prophets mukhbirin, all of the prophets, they made sure to relay the message. So here's something incredible. Ibrahim alayhi salatu salam was not sent to us explicitly, right? Implicitly, all the prophets were sent to us because Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam embodies all of the prophets. But because he's such a passionate teacher, because he has so much yaqeen, certainty, in what he's teaching. He's a prophet, right? At any moment, he takes the opportunity to teach. So he says, "Wa akhbirhum." He didn't say, "Ukhbiruk." He didn't say, "I'm telling you," because the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he already knows. "Wa akhbirhum," but tell them, I have something to teach them, even though I'm not sent to them. Alayhi salatu wasalam. Because the prophets were passionate about education. The prophets, alayhi salatu wasalam, were muballighin al-rabbihim, as we talk about in the conditions of prophethood, tabligh, like they're going to let the message out there. They can't be contained. So now, when we look at the contours of the world and the continued oppression and conditioning of Muslims, we cannot stop calling to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We have to continue to call the people to Allah. La ilaha illahu. So we learn something here. And this first part of this hadith, we learn something from our father, Sayyidina Ibrahim. And that is, he models adab and teaching. He's humble. Give salams to your ummah. He didn't say like, I'm your father, I named you guys Muslims, I'm this. Religion is not about utility for the prophets. He said, akhbirhum, and then teach them. So he models salam, adab, and he models being an educator. Oftentimes we talk about the etiquettes of the student. What about the etiquettes of the teacher? So Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salatu salam, ya Muhammad, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the respect given to the prophet, akhri. Ummataka minni salam, please give my salam to your ummah, wa akhbirhum, and teach them. So, adab, teaching. Adab, ya Muhammad, adab, give salam to your ummah, teaching, wa akhbirhum, and teach them, anna al-jannata tayyibatu turba, that Jannah has a sweet soil, that the soil of Jannah is pure and sweet, alayhi salam. Adbatul ma, and that its water is pure and sweet. Wa annaha qi'an. Qi'an is like a flat land between a bunch of mountains, almost like a valley, right? But it's lush It's not rocky. Its earth is smooth and easy to manage and easy to traverse. That's qiyan. 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 وَأَنَّ غِرَاسَهَا. And then if you want to cultivate Jannah, if you want to grow something in Jannah, here are the seeds, metaphorically, you should plant. So he says, Subhanallah. You should say Subhanallah. So Sayyidina Ibrahim is saying, وَأَنَّ غِرَاسَهَا. And what is going to cultivate the Jannah for them is what? The statement, Subhanallah. Saying Subhanallah. Once I had this friend, right? He used to cuss. So we're in the car. I said, instead of saying that, why don't you say Subhanallah? So he started, Subhanallah, Subhanallah. And then every once in a while he would cuss. And I would say, hey man, you just uncultivated your Jannah. Like you just cut down a tree that you built by saying Subhanallah. Walhamdulillah, in praising Allah. Wa la ilaha illallah, in saying la ilaha illallah. Wallahu akbar, in saying that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the greatest. Qala at-Tirmidhi rahimahullah, hadha hadithun hasan. This is a good hadith related by Sayyidina wa Imamana at-Tirmidhi radiyallahu anhu. This takes us now to the 16th hadith, according to this print, which is the last hadith in this chapter, on the virtues of dhikr and inspiring us to remember Allah and supplicate to Allah. And this hadith is from Abu Musa al-Ash'ari radiyallahu anhu, who said, قَالَ لِيَ النَّبِيُّ. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to me, أَلَا أَدُلُّكَ عَلَى كَنْزٍ مِنْ كُنُوزِ الْجَنَّةِ. Allahu Akbar. Here we see the Prophet as a teacher using different methods of teaching to get the attention of the student. The word ala in Arabic is called harf al-tanbih. Ala, you know, implies like a deliberate interference in someone's life to try to get their attention. Ala, ala, like, yo, yo, you want to get someone's attention. Ala adulluk, and the word adulluk, dalil, is a word, we talk about this in usul al-fiqh and in theology. Yadullu ala ghayri, shay yadullu ala ghayrihi. Something which directs you to something else. So we say, ad-dukhan dalilu nar, right? That smoke is the evidence of fire. So here is very profound because the Prophet again is using an ambiguous style, ad-dulluk, which means I'm the one that can guide you to the madlul, to what needs to be guided. And in this word ad-dulluk, let me try to make it clear, is like ambiguity. The Prophet ﷺ in this one word is saying, there's something that you don't know that I can direct you to. So as though he's positing himself as the Prophet, alayhi salatu wasalam, as the teacher, as the guide, to something which he hasn't said yet. In Arabic, this is called tashwiq al-sami' in rhetoric. The art of saying something that creates dissonance so that the person is like, they want the answer from you. That's why it's called tashwiq al-sami', tashwiq, like longing and hoping for the answer. This happens a lot in the Quran. Al-qari'ah, mal-qari'ah, wa ma adraka mal-qari'ah. Al-qari'ah, what is qari'ah? How will you ever know what qari'ah is? It doesn't ever say it. And then finally, yawma yakunu nasu kal-farash al-mabathuth. Then it says, this day in which people are going to be spread like moths. So here the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we see the art of a teacher. Those of you who are Islamic studies teachers, if you're not passionate, don't be an Islamic studies teacher. If you're just going to sit there and read from a book, you know, when you sit and just read from a book like this, and you're not animated, and you're not doing things with your students and trying to get them motivated, you can actually do a greater disservice. So make sure you're motivated about what you want to teach. Parents, the same thing. Imams, the same thing. You got to be hype. The Prophet says, Allah do look. Hey, hey, shall I not guide you? Ara kens, to a treasure. Here we see the Prophet ﷺ using something from dunya which people like. Maybe somebody would get upset and be like, ooh, like how could you mention that? So use, sometimes when people give speeches, I give speeches, I use things in popular culture. Some people get angry. No, no, this is the Prophet ﷺ's method of teaching. He mentions kenz, a treasure. Who doesn't want a treasure? So even though Abu Musa al-Ash'ari is from the Salihin, some narrations say from the 10 promised paradise, still the Prophet knows the importance of a value prop. So ala adulluk ala kanzim min kunuz al-jannah, shall I not direct you to a treasure? Then he balances it to the hereafter from the treasures of paradise. And Abu Musa al-Ash'ari radiyallahu anhu qut bala ya Rasulullah, bala ya Rasulullah, indeed O Messenger of Allah, for sure O Messenger of Allah. The Prophet said qul, qala qul la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah, say la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. MashaAllah, incredible, incredible, incredible hadith that illustrates the infinite ways of prophetic instruction that we should think about, especially those of us who are passionate about religious education. MashaAllah, we have now finished the portion of the text that goes over the virtues of dhikr. And next time, inshaAllah ta'ala, we're going to start to talk about those things we should say at the ends, the beginning and the ends of the day, what are called taraf al-nahar. Tarafay al-nahar, meaning morning and afternoon, evening. Barakallahu feekum. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless you and increase you. Jazakallahu khairan. Wa sallallahu ala sayyidina Muhammad. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.